We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I am your host, Rick Wolf. Well, on this morning's show, we're going to talk about concussions and why it is that so many high school, travel, and college athletes balk when it comes to wearing helmets during games and practices. Now, what's that you say? How in the world could any football or ice hockey player opt to not wear a helmet these days? Well, that's because we're not going to talk about football or ice hockey, but rather about girls' lacrosse. Now, let me first say that boys' lacrosse and girls' lacrosse, well, they're two totally different sports. As you know, boys wear all sorts of equipment, pads, and they wear a hard helmet. But with girls, traditionally, well, they have not worn helmets. Yes, they do have to wear mouth guards and eye goggles. That's mandatory, and they do. But in recent years, as the girls' game has become faster and stronger, and of course with the growing worry about concussions, there's been an expanding movement to have the girls wear helmets as well. In fact, back in 2017, U.S. lacrosse, which is the sports national governing body, they decided to make helmets optional for all levels of girls lacrosse from the youth leagues right through college. So on the high school level, each state athletic association can decide what policy they want to use. And every state, quite frankly, has followed the U.S. lacrosse dictum. They said, well, it's optional. That rule is in place for pretty much every state in the nation except Florida, where mandatory helmets have been the rule for some time. So the reality is that these days, most girls who play lacrosse do not wear protective helmets. Now, that being said, some school districts do make wearing them mandatory because of concerns regarding concussions. You know, concussions where girls are getting hit by opponent's sticks or a ball hits them in the head or is a collision on the field. You know, concussions do happen in lacrosse. But the truth is, according to recent studies, the number of lacrosse concussions, well, the number actually trails behind soccer and basketball. And, of course, no one is suggesting that girls wear helmets or headgear when they play soccer or basketball. Now, most lacrosse parents say that they would prefer their daughters to wear helmets, and that's understandable because, you know, even though most players say they aren't necessary and they're uncomfortable, they actually lead to a more dangerous sport. But the parents, of course, are trying to protect their kids, and they'll do what they can to keep them from getting concussions. All right, so my question today is, why is it that girls don't want to wear helmets when playing lacrosse? And to that end, we'll open the phone lines at 1-877-337-6666, of course. We're joined this morning by Dave Katowski, who is the founder and managing director of Team Elevate, which is one of the premier girls travel lacrosse program in the country. Team Elevate is based here on Long Island. It has sent dozens of top female lacrosse players to prestigious colleges all over. Dave's also the head coach at Holy Trinity High School. In just a few years, he's made that program into a Catholic League powerhouse. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. And this is a topic that, you know, I've debated and myself, having two of my daughters play high school lacrosse, and one of them wanted to play in college, and they would tell me, Dad, we don't want to wear helmets playing lacrosse. It's for a variety of reasons. But before I get into that, tell me your thoughts about this so-called debate of girls having the option to wear helmets when they play lacrosse.
Well, I guess starting out, I'd say is what I want is the safest situation for all the girls involved. So, you know, I'm not looking one way or the other. I want the girls to be safe, and I want them to be healthy, et cetera. I have three daughters that all play lacrosse as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, from the standpoint, I think one of the things that has been a debate in the lacrosse community, too, is about the information that's been used and where that information is coming from in regards to the rates of concussions and how things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as an example, I've asked a lot of other club directors who I'm friendly with if they were ever asked to be involved in any of these studies. And none of us were. So one thing I look at is, where is that information coming from? And are we using a small database that's, you know, not really strong enough from the standpoint of total information available? So that's one thing. And I think if you're going to do this, we just need to have a much wider range of study here. And I think that would be, and the more information, obviously the better results are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing for me. The second thing is in regards to the rules. And to me, I don't think the rules are actually being enforced the way that they are written and the way they should be. Now, for girls, one of the biggest issues that they have when you look at, and this is, you know, what the data will tell us, is when you look at data of, as an example, of female soccer players versus male soccer players, female hockey players versus male hockey players, the women have higher rates of concussion. Now you look at it as women's ice hockey doesn't have body contact, yet they have higher rates of concussion. Now, what some studies are saying is that the reasoning is women's neck muscles aren't as strong as their male counterparts. And what ends up happening is you're getting the whiplash effect.
Right.
And so with that being said, from these types of concussions and looking at the studies of what's going on with them, as you had said in your preview, no one's saying, hey, should we have helmets in girls' basketball? Should we have helmets in gymnastics? Should we have helmets in, you know, some of these other sports like soccer,
mm-hmm.
Where there are higher concussion rates?
Well, let me ask a couple of quick questions before we get deeper into this. First of all, I assume, and I realize you, with Team Elevate, you have a lot of elite lacrosse players, that very few, if any, wear helmets. Is that correct?
Very few.
Okay. And how many of them, when they go on to play in college, they're not wearing helmets in college either, correct?
Well, I was just at the NCAA semifinals 2 days ago,
yep.
out of Baltimore.
Yep.
And I didn't see one girl on the field for any of the teams with a helmet on.
Okay, so U.S. lacrosse, and Dave, I realize you've been involved in lacrosse your entire life, and you're the right guy to talk about this issue. You know, why would U.S. lacrosse then come out and say, okay, we're going to make this optional? From the parents' perspective, you want to have you want to do whatever you possibly can to protect your kids, because we do know concussions are a concern. So I understand, obviously, that's you know, safety first, that mentality. On the other hand, there's a concern about, well, you know, the girls say they don't want to do it. I mean, is it wrong to let the girls sort of make the final decision here? It's sort of like saying, well, we think if you're driving a car, you got to wear a seatbelt. And the teenager might say, well, I don't want to wear a seatbelt. You know, I mean, so is it really, you know, with all the various, and again, I appreciate what you're saying with the studies that have not been totally conclusive, they have been inclusive, but is it really right to give the girls the choice on this thing?
Well, it's kind of interesting, you know, Florida was the first state that really got this ball rolling, and you know, there are different people who say, hey, you know, you're looking at Florida where the sport is new. You had newer referees. Were they calling the game the right way, et cetera?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Florida got that ball rolling.
Right.
And then you had U.S. lacrosse come in and say, okay, you can have this. What we saw when helmets first came out, which was kind of interesting, and I have not been in favor of the helmets for a number of reasons. One is years ago, and this is probably 15 years ago, maybe even 20, Massachusetts was a state who said, okay, we're going to put girls in helmets.
Right.
And they put girls in helmets in Massachusetts, and the game got out of control. And
You mean in terms of more contact?
More contact, more physicality. And what ended up happening is they said it went the other way. So what did they do? They got rid of helmets in Massachusetts. So here in New York, I actually know of certain teams that they said, okay, we're going to put helmets on because you know what? It's going to let us be more aggressive.
Mm-hmm. I was going to get to that, Dave. In fact, let me take a pause right here. We're talking with Dave Kotowski of Team Elevate, and we're talking about this curious debate about why it is that in high school, girls lacrosse and travel lacrosse and even college, it's the girls who have the choice of whether they want to wear a protective helmet or not. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, in Florida, it is mandatory. Girls have no choice. In certain school districts, it's mandatory as well. It gets a little complicated. And the idea, of course, is we want to protect our kids. But as Dave has just mentioned, there was a history here in Massachusetts where they were using helmets at one point, and the game totally changed, and not in a good way. Okay, let me take a pause. We do want to hear your thoughts and comments, of course, at 1-877-337-6666. Let me take a time out. Mike McCann is here this morning. He has your update. When I return, I'll continue talking with Dave. Stay with me. And back here on the Sports Edge, we're talking about girls lacrosse this morning and why it is that so many girls opt not to wear protective plastic helmet when they play. My guest is Dave Kotowski, who is the founder and managing director of Team Elevate Lacrosse, which is one of the premier programs in this area, in fact, pretty much across the country. If you are an aspiring lacrosse player, you should go check out the very impressive website at Team Elevate Lacrosse. That's LAX, teamelevatelax.com. And we're talking about this issue, and we're taking calls at 1-877-337-6666. And Dave, before I get to the callers, let me ask you this. Is this what happens when a high school team, and there are school districts, certainly in New York State and on Long Island in particular, where the girls are mandated by the district to wear helmets, suppose they're playing a team that doesn't wear helmets. What happens then? Is there a noticeable difference in the competition?
Well, I actually went to go see one of my my daughter's a high school coach as well, and I went to go see one of her games this past season.
Yep.
And I had multiple players on both teams that are playing, and one of the teams, which is Hewlett High School, they are one of the schools that does wear helmets, and the entire team wears helmets. Now, as related to Hewlett specifically, and I'm only referencing one game, I did not see a higher level of aggressiveness with them. But you know, like I said, it's only one game. And it's only one team that we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
However, I've seen players who have worn a helmet in a game who have been extremely aggressive, where literally they've been putting their head down and going to goal. And what's interesting is this was brought up with the officials is what happens if a girl starts using her head almost as a battering ram, where she is going in out of control. And when that has been called, what's very interesting is I watched a specific player who wore a helmet in the first half of the game, got calls against her, and then took the helmet off and didn't have a helmet in the second half of the game.
Hmm.
So it's very interesting when you look at that. And once again, it's all about data. And I think that's one of the most important things that we need to do in order to keep the game safe. And, you know, I definitely have my thoughts on how we can keep the game safer.
That's no question, and I do think a reason why I'm discussing this today is because I do think the time has come, Dave, to try to get some better data and some more insight. I just think it's awkward to allow the kids to decide whether or not they want to wear helmets or not, particularly because of the data we do have involving concussions, certainly with football and ice hockey and sports like that. And as you said, people suspect, and you can pretty much see it, if one girl or her teammates are wearing plastic hard helmets, that they're going to be more tempted to use their head in a more aggressive manner because they know they're protective. It's a curious anomaly in sports where we're letting the kids decide as opposed to having the authorities and the medical people and coaches like yourself decide, okay, what's the right thing to do? All right, let's.
Well, I'll tell you, Rick, just on that note, you know, what's interesting with that is that in some cases, there's been almost a, I don't know if it's a campaign, it's like, oh, we're not going to call it helmets. We're going to call it headgear because it sounds different. It's a helmet. You know, call it what it is. It's a helmet. And then the other side of it is there are districts here on Long Island where they're making it mandatory in middle school but not mandatory in high school. And I look at that and say, well, how do you make it mandatory for one age group of kids and not make it for another group of kids? And I think this also gets back to, you know, we're in this society, a litigious society where, you know, I think what happens is people are worried about getting sued.
Oh, yeah,
and that factors into it as well.
There's no question. And I'm glad you mentioned that there's this debate about the terminology. Don't call them helmets. They're protective headgear. Come on, they're helmets. I mean, you look at them, you see what they are. They're helmets. You can call them protective headgear, but that's just a euphemism. They're helmets. And to your point, which I do think a lot has to do with this, we are in litigious times. What happens if a school district has got a girl playing lacrosse? They're not wearing helmets or protective headgear. A kid gets hit in the head with a stick or with a ball, whatever, gets a serious concussion. Now we're saying, okay, well, we're suing the school district. Why did you allow the girls to do this? I mean, other districts have it mandatory. So it puts the district in a very awkward spot. And unfortunately, in this day and age, we know that many times the prospect of lawsuits can really drive decisions when it comes to our sports. All right, let me get some calls here. Let's go morning to let's go to Louis over in Long Beach. Louis, good morning. You're on the fan.
Good morning, Rick. I coached in the coaches' league. I coached at Sacred Heart Academy in 2001 when my team won the Long Island Championship in girls' lacrosse.
Mm-hmm.
And I now coach boys' lacrosse, okay, in Orange County. The problem here is that it's ludicrous not to let the girls play with the helmets. And my reasoning is I've seen many concussions happen without using those helmets. And the one day when the coach is going to be held liable and he's going to be in court defending himself, because he didn't tell the girl to wear the helmet, is going to be a very difficult situation for a lot of coaches. So I don't look at it only from the standpoint of who's making the decisions. The day that we let the kids make the decision when it comes to injury is the day that it's going to be a sad day.
Yeah.
Parents, I think that teachers, coaches have to make the decisions for the kids to keep them safe.
Well,
it's not a great thing not to let them play without those helmets. Believe me, I've seen injuries. I even had an injury this year, and my player had a helmet on, and he has a concussion. He can't play for the rest of the season. What are they talking about here that they shouldn't be wearing helmets? It will be a day. There will be a day where all the girls will have to wear the helmets.
Louis, I hear what you're saying, and thank you for the call. And Dave, I think that's what we're sort of talking about here, and Louis obviously had a lot of experience in coaching lacrosse as well. This is a concern where, it may in fact, and you know this, if all the girls are wearing or mandated to wear helmets, it's going to change the nature and tenor of the game. As you just mentioned, this happened 15 years ago in Massachusetts where they put in that rule that all the girls had to wear helmets. But again, this seems to be where we're heading, because just to say it's optional, that doesn't make a parent feel very safe, and it probably doesn't make a school district feel safe either.
No, I understand that, but getting back to what Louie said there, saying, hey, girls versus boys, and having the helmet and bringing the coaches. This is not a coaching decision. I'll give you this happened this year. One of my players who plays for me, plays for a different high school, suffered a concussion. She suffered a concussion when she was knocked to the ground. And her dad asked me what I thought, and I said, at this point, since it's her second concussion, I think she should be wearing a helmet from this point on, just for a safety standpoint. So it's not that I'm against helmets. It's that I'm looking at it and saying, okay, how do we protect the game. And one of the things that I hear all the time is, and I hear it especially from dads, why don't we just put them all on equipment and let them play? You know, it's the same game. It's not the same game. In essence, it's really two different games. The only thing that they share in common is the same ball, pretty much,
yep,
and the same goal.
Yeah.
And after that, the rules are designed. And this is kind of interesting. We just played a game the other day with my high school where we had our boys, high school boys, played against our girls, high school girls. And we do it. It's a fun thing that we do. And we play with the boys after I use the girls' sticks, and we play with the girls' rules. The first thing I did was I explained to the boys some of the most important rules. And I explained the rule of, there's a specific rule called obstruction of shooting space. And I said, you can't be in this space here because nobody wants you to get hit with a ball. And if explaining it to them and saying, well, you don't have a helmet on right now, so you don't want to get hit with a ball. So the shooter has a responsibility. I think in the last few years, I've seen a lot more what we would call dangerous repelling or dangerous shots where it's not being called. And it needs to be called. You know, when I was first learning about the, and I grew up obviously as a boys lacrosse player, learning about the rules and learning about, you know, the safety features, it's one of the most important things. And I don't think enough is going into it from the education to parents, players, and also to coaches who are new to the game.
Well,
to understand.
That's also,
you need to know these rules.
I was going to say, because lacrosse has shot up in popularity in just the last 10, 15 years, particularly on the female side, we know that there's a lot of people out there who don't know the rules. I'm the first to tell you, as having two daughters who played in high school and one played in college, the rules are still complicated to me, and I know for most people and a lot of coaches, it's hard to get around that, and that's part of the issue as well. Let's continue our calls. Let's go to Terry up in Amenia, New York. Terry, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning, Rick. Thank you so much.
Yes, Terry.
I'm an absolutist. I believe in protective devices, and we don't have enough information going forward about the impact of the concussions that do occur. And for that reason alone, I think the girls should wear protective headgear, no matter what you call it. And if the girls are using headgear as, if you will, an offensive device, you adjust the rules accordingly.
Mm.
And you say, you may not do this, you may not do that, because the helmet is not a weapon in the game.
You know, Terry, that's interesting. And I will say that according to the most recent stats, that girls suffer more concussions playing soccer and basketball than with lacrosse. Okay, but to your point, and maybe that's a possible solution. And Terry, thanks as always for the call.
You're most welcome.
Thanks,
Terry, Rick.
But Dave, what about that? We just empower the referees, where if they suspect the girl is using their headgear as a sort of an offensive weapon, that they just get penalized or they're given a warning, and on the second offense, they're basically, you know, pushed out of the game. I mean, is that a possibility to change the to maintain the safety of the game?
Rick, I think all those things are possibilities. And, you know, the for me, and just making sure everyone understands where I'm coming from, listen, I have been involved with this game at the highest levels.
Right, right.
I was president of the Long Island Lizards, so I've been involved in the professional lacrosse. I played professional lacrosse in both leagues, in indoor, outdoor. And I've coached, you know, lacrosse here at the highest levels and have kids playing, you know, of the eight quarterfinalists, I've had seven of eight teams with Elevate kids on those teams. I know the game, and I know what's going on inside the game. And I also want the kids to be protected, and I want the kids to be safe. So just leave it at that, you know, safety is a primary concern here.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think what's going on right now is we're not calling the game as tight as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know, the rules were designed that in the girls' rules, why they are so different from the boys' rules. I was watching a University of Pennsylvania boys' game a few weeks ago. I think might have been during the Ivy League tournament, where one of the kids got hit in the back of the head by his own player on a shot. and hit him in the helmet. I said, thank God it hit him in the helmet, because if that had hit him, you know, 3 inches lower in the back of the neck, it might have killed him. And so there is always going to be, you know, danger whenever you play sports. But as you just prefaced it, you look at the rates of concussion in soccer and basketball are higher, yet where are the people saying we need to have helmets in those sports? You know, rugby, I think, has the highest level of concussion. Are you going to add helmets to rugby now?
Well, Dave, I'm looking at the clock here, and I have to take a pause. Can you stay on for a couple more minutes? I just have another question.
Sure can.
All right, we're talking with Dave Kotowski of Team Elevate Lacrosse, and as Dave has mentioned, he's been involved in the sport throughout his entire career, played throughout college and the pro ranks as well, and now he's the head coach at the Holy Cross and obviously runs Team Elevate. Let me take a timeout and get an update here from Mike McCann, and we'll continue with our calls at 1-877-337-6666. And don't forget, at 9 o'clock this morning, Ed Randall will be here. Ed, of course, will be talking baseball with you. And as always, I invite you to check out my website and my blog, where I post my thoughts and comments about the show at AskCoachWolf.com. Just a quick reminder that you can still order a copy of Secrets of Sports Psychology Revealed. Best place to get it is on Amazon. You can also order it as an audiobook. Again, you can go to Amazon and get a copy of Secrets of Sports Psychology Revealed. It's a perfect primer for any kid who wants to get a better idea of the mental approach to their game. Again, I'm so happy I get so much positive feedback on that book. Now, before we get back to Dave Kotowski and talking about lacrosse, two quick baseball items. Most of you know that I'm a Harvard graduate where I played baseball. Allow me to point to a couple of crimson items. First of all, Harvard qualified this past week for the NCAA playoffs by defeating Columbia. That's nice. But before the championship game last weekend, the national anthem was played by a Harvard infielder named Edwin Owolo. That's O-W-O-L-O. And he did it on his violin when he played it at home plate in uniform. It was truly just a masterful performance. And if you or your kids want to see something very cool, just go online and Google Edwin Owolo. That's O-W-O-L-O, Harvard baseball, and you'll be as amazed as I was with this kid playing on his fiddle at home plate before a championship game. In fact, that musical moment reminded me of the 2012 Harvard baseball team when they recorded a wonderful parody of the then-hit song called Call Me Maybe. Again, if you want to see something that's a lot of fun, go online and check out the 2012 Harvard baseball Call Me Maybe parody. It's really a hoot. Anyhow, Harvard baseball, win or lose, I have to tell you, they have some very creative and very talented players on its baseball team. Okay, getting back to Dave Kotowski talking about girls lacrosse and helmets. Dave, let's get right back to the calls. Let's go to Steve in Harrington Park, New Jersey. Steve, good morning. You're on the fan.
Yeah, good morning. Dave, I think the girls should wear helmets. And I think you don't know what the results will be down the road. Like, didn't we learn from football what all the concussions caused down the road? And also to say that they're more aggressive with the helmets is ridiculous. Girls are going to be aggressive no matter what sport they are in at that age and all. And also, if they're more aggressive with it, you know, the type of concussion, the level of the concussion without a helmet and being more aggressive with the helmet, I think without the helmet would be more damaging. But thanks for the call.
Okay, Steve, thanks. Dave, thoughts about that? I guess it's more of the same. I mean, clearly, you know, you've made it very, very obvious that you're all about trying to protect the kids. We know that. We get that. You alluded to the fact that the kid from Penn in a boys' or men's game, you know, hit in the back of the helmet and would have, you know, was thank God he had that. So I get a sense that we're going to have to do something here to just educate refs and coaches more in terms of protection.
I think there's some things that we could be doing, Rick, with the game itself, too.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the WPLL right now, which is the Women's Professional League.
Uh-huh.
One of the things that they've done is they've changed the rules and I write a blog myself, and on that blog, I just interviewed Maria McCool, who was a two-time Tewharton finalist. And I always ask, is there a rule change that you'd like to see? And one of the things that Marie said is she'd like to see them go to 6-on-6 on offense, because right now it's 7-on-7 on offense. And they play 6-on-6 in the Women's Pro League, which opens up the field more. The other thing, when you look at women's lacrosse versus men's lacrosse, the restraining line is at the 50-yard line. So they're playing 6-on-6 at the 50-yard line. You have such a bigger offensive space to operate in. Where girls lacrosse, it's you basically get the entire offense. Now you're taking it's 7-on-7, and now you're in 1/3 of the field. If we were to move the restraining line back to the 50-yard line, and like Marie said, if we go to one less player on the field, it would open up the field more. You'd have less congestion, less issues with that. But I also think that they should be calling, you know, any checks that are close to the head, it should be an automatic call. And a couple of years ago, one of the things they talked about too was, you know, this year I had one of my kids in the state championship game get leveled at the sideline. Well, when a girl makes body contact and gets leveled, it's supposed to be an automatic card. There was no card on the play. And, you know, my kid had to get taken out of the game. And because of that, if we enforce the rules the way they're written, and once again, I'm not against helmets. What I'm against is having a game that's just going to completely change.
Yeah.
And it's not just me. Look at all the women's professional players. Most of them are college coaches. None of them are wearing helmets.
We're talking with Dave Kotowski. Dave is the founder and managing director of Team Elevate Lacrosse on Long Island. He's also the head coach at Holy Trinity High School. He's built that into a pretty substantial powerhouse very quickly. And we're taking your calls about this whole debate about girls, particularly in high school, not opting not to wear helmets and whether or not that makes sense. We're hearing Dave talk about the fact that he's all about safety as well. Let's continue our conversation with Chris out in Long Island. Chris, good morning. You're on the fan.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
I'm sorry?
Good morning. How are you today?
Good, Chris. How are you? Go ahead.
Okay. I had a concussion playing basketball.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to wear a helmet when you play basketball.
Agreed.
Also, my son had a concussion while he was a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel after you have a concussion? When I had mine, I felt like my brain shook, and I didn't feel right for days and days. And I think it should be mandatory for everyone who is in a contact sport to wear a helmet, because it will prevent a lot of injuries and long, it will prevent.
Well, Chris, I hear you about this, thank you for the call. We're all about, we're trying to prevent concussions, but I think everybody understands, of course, that no helmet has been created, either for football or any other sport, that can actually prevent concussions. What helmets do is they try to minimize the amount of damage that concussion does to one's brain, but nothing has been created yet that actually totally protects a youngster from getting a concussion if that occurs with a direct hit to one's head. Let's move on. Let's go to Bruce in New Canaan. Hi, Bruce. You're on the fan with Dave Kotowski and Rick Wolf.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, Bruce.
I was just wondering, in your guys' opinion, what is more risky in the game for women without a helmet? Is it the ball hitting them to give them a concussion, or is it to fall and hit their head? Because I coach younger kids, girls in lacrosse, and they have a much more bigger risk of falling and hitting their heads than the ball actually hitting them in the head.
Or getting hit by a
concussion.
What
is more risky?
Yes. Dave, go ahead.
Stick, but I don't know. They don't get whacked hard enough, I don't feel, at that level anyway, to get a concussion. But to the point where we were talking about neck strength, or you guys mentioned it about half an hour ago, that you know, that I do see the kids really whiplash their head onto the ground when they fall. I have not seen a girl get hit in the head with a shot that would give them a concussion yet.
Dave, go ahead.
You know, it's, once again, it gets back to data. I mean, yes, there are kids who've got, my own daughter has gotten checked in the head, and she received a concussion from that. And would a helmet have helped her? We don't know. Maybe.
Right.
And, but from the standpoint of the neck strength, that is a big issue. And getting back to the neck, because once again, I want this to be safe, and I want my kids to have, you know, safety on the field. We just looked into something that they're using in hockey experimentally up in Canada. And basically what it came from, when you think about what a concussion is, it's the rattling of the brain.
Right.
And they were looking at woodpeckers. Why does a woodpecker not have a concussion when it's smashing its beak into a tree repeatedly and shaking its brain? And one of the things is it shuts down its blood flow into the brain when it's pecking.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually have a thing that they use now where it goes around your neck. And what it does is it's actually like a collar that goes around your neck, and it basically restricts the blood flow when to your carotid arteries. And this is just a new thing. It's just something that we just looked at. And you look at it and saying, wow, this is an interesting thing too. Can this help and, you know, provide more safety in the game and have less concussions? So, you know, we're looking at all these things. It's the same thing too. It's like, I think I've never seen more ACL injuries than we're seeing right now. So we do an entire ACL prevention before every practice to try to limit that and keep the kids healthy and safe. But, you know, the younger they are, the less neck strength they have. Yeah, I think those falls are going to be an issue, but so is getting hit in the head and getting hit with a ball.
Hey, Bruce, thank you for the call. Right. And I hear you loud and clear that, you know, look, we all know that concussions are part of any sport. We're just trying to minimize them. And Dave, I just want to thank you for taking some time. I know you're just back from Baltimore, and you're probably exhausted this morning from the long drive back. But I do want to thank you for spending time with me this morning talking about this issue, because clearly it is a ongoing debate about the safety element with the protective headwear or helmets, as they're called, with girls lacrosse. And Dave, continued success with Team Elevate, and thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me, Rick.
Thanks, Dave. That is Dave Kotowski, again, head coach at Holy Trinity High School, who spent a whole career. He played, obviously, in college at Brown, went on to play professionally as well, and Team Elevate is the premier program for girls lacrosse, certainly on Long Island. All right, let me take a quick time out. I'll be back with more. Stay with me.
Rick Wolf, Sports Radio 101.9 FM,
The Fan,
and Sports Radio 66, WFAN.
I want to thank Dave Kotowski for coming on this morning and talking about this tricky issue, but I have to say this, that, you know, it is very curious to see where an organization like U.S. Lacrosse has suggested from its so-called research and data, and they're the sort of the governing body in the sport of lacrosse, that it should be optional if girls want to wear helmets or not, particularly in this day and age where we're so concerned about the long-range impact of concussions in football and ice hockey and other contact sports. I have to tell you, and again, I had two girls who played lacrosse in high school, and they did not wear helmets. This goes back a good 10 years. But the fact is, yeah, I know it could change the game, but that's where Dave suggested, and I agree with him. We have to, you know, educate coaches, referees, parents, and the players that if you're going to wear a helmet, and I really think they should wear helmets, that they're going to have to be educated as to not to use that helmet as sort of an offensive weapon, as a battering ram to give you an edge. We're going to have to mandate that and hopefully preserve the integrity of the game of girls lacrosse. Otherwise, I think we're running a big risk when it comes to having kids suffer concussions needlessly, but perhaps a helmet would protect them. Okay, that's going to do it for me in this edition of the Sports Edge. My thanks this morning to Brian Riscona. Please stick around for Ed Randall. He is up next. I'll see you next Sunday right here on the Sports Edge.
T-Mobile
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.